Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan. This week, Alyssa Mastromonaco and I talk about how the old-timey sexism of the Ernst & Young dress code isn't actually that old-timey at all. Then Francesca Fiorentini joins Tian Tran and Kieran Deal to talk about ghosts, as in the kind that haunt abandoned amusement parks and the kind that haunt our nation's history. Then, as always, our hills. Before we get started, some housekeeping. If you want to submit a Hill You'll Die On, record a 30-second voice memo on your phone and send it to hysteria@crooked.com. And if you have a question about navigating a tough situation at work or how to make friends as an adult, or maybe you just want to hear our opinion on scary movies, send us an email at hysteria@crooked.com with your questions and we'll answer them in our weekly video segment, Dude, You Asked. You can find that on Crooked Media's socials. My wholesome recommendation for the week is, if you are somebody who lives in a place where trick-or-treaters don't come, like if you live in an apartment building or something, and you really want to participate in Halloween and you don't have any kids and you also don't want to be creepy and follow children around and stuff, you can go to a school or community center and see if anybody needs volunteers to help hand out candy. I grew up down a dirt road and we never got trick-or-treaters, and so it is such a huge novelty to me to participate in that. So, you know, ask around your town. There are probably places that you could help out and help kids have a nice, happy Halloween.
Hello.
Hey, Alyssa.
Hey, Erin.
Do you want to hear one of my top three wackiest ideas at the moment?
Will be the judge of how wacky it is.
Okay, so here's my idea. Meghan Markle should run for president.
Meghan Markle should run for president.
Hear me out.
I'm here for it.
Okay, so we know Ivanka Trump lives on her own planet, and on that planet, she believes that she's going to be the first female president.
Right, we've discussed.
Okay. So the perfect opponent for Ivanka, who kind of fancies herself an American princess, would be a real princess, Meghan. And Meghan Markle is actually very smart. She went to Northwestern on her own, not because her dad made a call. And if she won, here's my real reason behind this. If she won, Prince Harry would become the first spouse. And so maybe we could, like, Habsburg our way back into a sort of... like England-US reunification, because right now both countries are facing unstable kooks as leaders that are sort of weakening them globally, and we could really use each other moving forward.
To be like a united superpower.
Exactly. Or sort of like a kind of hobbling middle power instead of two decrepit old ex-powers.
So much better.
Well, I guess that gets us into what I want to talk about today. Would you say that you're feeling a little bit more cheerful or athletic this morning, if you had to pick?
You know, the sun is out here in Columbia County after torrential downpours yesterday, and I already went for my walk, so I'm feeling both.
Okay, wow. Then you maybe have what it takes to succeed at Ernst & Young, the accounting firm that in 2018 was giving female employees a workshop called Power, Presence, and Purpose, or PPP for short. What do you think this accounting seminar for women covered, Alyssa?
I'm going to guess the subtitle was Business Barbie.
Yes. Yes. It covered such accounting related things as having groomed nails and a nice haircut and wearing clothes that are flattering, but not sexy because sex scrambles the brain.
You know, of men. I've heard that. I've heard that, too, that bearing your arms can be very distracting in a mortgage restructuring meeting.
Look, men are the more powerful sex. Their only weakness is half of the entire world.
I mean, honestly, this happened in 2018.
The old timey days of 2018 when we were telegraphing tweets about, you know, various haystacks and stuff.
Do you know what this reminded me of?
What?
It reminded me of when I was in sixth grade and I was in health class and we had like a very like retro exam we were taking on one of the overhead projectors, you know, where they like just like flash it up there and you write A, B, C, or D on your little piece of loose leaf paper. Mm-hmm. And the question was, you can get AIDS by, and it was like, kissing, touching, hugging, using the toilet bowl of someone who has AIDS, and all of the above. And the answer was all of the above.
What?
And my best friend, Kara, who was much more outspoken than I was back then, she was like, that's just wrong. Like, the book is wrong. And the teacher was like, no, this is what HarperCollins or whoever it was says the answer is. And she's like, but the answer is wrong. And Ernst & Young's wrong.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Because first of all, everybody knows you get AIDS by not going to church. Right?
Of course. I can't believe that wasn't like option E.
Duh. But secondly, you know, you bring up a good point, though, that Ernst & Young is wrong. This happened in 2018, but this isn't an isolated incident. Like, you and I have talked a little bit about your time in D.C. and how militant and kind of anachronistic the standards of dress for women were. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So when I became Deputy White House Chief of Staff, along with Nancy Ann DeParle, it was the first time two women were ever deputy chiefs in the White House together. And there was a blog that used to field questions based on pictures that Pete Souza posted to the White House Flickr account about what Nancy Ann and I were wearing.
Oh, my God.
And it was actually pretty hurtful because I was very self-conscious because I was like 34, 35 and White House Deputy Chief of Staff. And here were these people being like, she's so inappropriate. I don't think she's wearing hose. Oh, my God. She doesn't have a blazer on. She's wearing a cardigan. And my all-time favorite, is she wearing flats? Well, to anyone listening who participated in that blog or agreed with the feedback, let me tell you, I worked with a bunch of guys, including a president, who are over 6 feet tall. They were like gazelle land striders, and I was like a hamster on a fucking wheel. And so you're right. I put flats on so I could keep the fuck up because that was more important. But the reason that I kind of took that blog so seriously is that like my formative experiences in Washington, D.C. and in government were in 1995 and 1996, when in 96, I actually was like an intern for Congressman Bernie Sanders in his D.C. office. And
the original Bernie bro. You're an original?
I'm an OG Bernie bro, except I was always very nice. And there was like this very interesting thing because people were talking, it was Bernie's office was pretty liberal. So it's like just dress what we would consider now professionally, like a pair of pants and a shirt, you know, no flip flops. Mm-hmm. It was pretty fine. But when you met interns from other offices, they had very, very strict dress codes. And it wasn't just for the interns. It was like skirts for women. And I was so confused by this that I did a little research that I thought was interesting to share nearly 20 years, more than 20 years later, is that it was not acceptable for women, for senators, for female senators to wear pants on the Senate floor until the pantsuit revolution of 1993, when Senator Barbara Mikulski and Senator Nancy Kasselbaum were like, fuck this shit. We're wearing pants. And so they wore pants and the rules. So there was no real written rule saying that they couldn't, but it was understood that you didn't. And the parliamentarian after that made it okay for women to be wearing pants as long as they had a suit jacket on.
I mean, and this was in the 90s, and the Ernst & Young thing was in 2018, and I had to get my car fixed this week, and I was watching Strahan, Sarah, and Kiki, which I just learned is a show. It's hour 3 of Good Morning America.
I was aware of that.
Yeah, they had it on extra loud, and it did help momentarily drown out the paralyzing dread of being a mortal organism. But as I was watching it, they were talking about the Ernst & Young. They were talking about the training and they were talking about it like, oh, it's so 50s. Isn't it crazy that there's a standards of beauty?
Not
that we're,
50s.
Right. But
not 50s.
But also like you guys are on fucking TV. Show me a female morning host that doesn't follow all of the guidelines that the Ernst & Young training laid out. Show me a woman without manicured hands. Show me a woman that has spent as little time in the makeup chair as a man doing the same job. Show me a woman that is wearing clothes that are kind of on the sexy side and not just like slim and flattering. Like, you guys are part of the problem, you know? And like, look, I've gone on TV before too, and it takes a long ass time in the makeup chair. I was just on CNN on Sunday, and like, they glue giant fake eyelashes on top of your real ones and your eyelids feel like they're getting buff
because really?
They're so heavy. Oh, my God. But I digress. My point is that I think that, as you and I have said, this is still happening. This isn't a 1950s thing. And pretending like this is this long vanquished problem sort of robs us of the opportunity of solving it as it exists today.
Like, well, also, here's a quick one. Here's a little historical fact for you. Do you know that in 2000, so 19 years ago, 2000, Hillary Clinton, first lady to ever wear pants in her official portrait?
Oh, yeah. That is not 1950s. That is recent.
No, and that's like now.
And here's the thing. Like, I like to dress up and I like, you know, when other people put care into their appearance. But the narrow definitions of what constitutes acceptable clothing for females and for males is very restricting. It also limits people's expression who are non-binary. And like, it's just, it's still going on. So like, let's talk about it as it's really happening, as it right. really was happening very recently, instead of being like, oh, ho, it's so 1950s, as you like.
So retro.
Yeah, it's not retro. It's not retro at all.
No.
Also, I don't know if you watch baseball. Do you?
Like on and off.
Okay. Well, I mean, basically, if a baseball game is happening, you can get up and like run all of your errands and you can come back and the game will still be on.
It's all definitely
there's I think there's a game that has been on all year. I'm not sure. The World Series is going on right now between the Houston Astros and the Washington Nationals. The Washington Nationals are sort of this like inspiring come from nowhere story this year. And last night they got their first World Series win, which is exciting. It's also exciting because the Houston Astros seem like they're pieces of shit. Have you been following the story of what one of the assistant general managers did?
I have, but please explain it in great detail.
Oh, boy. Okay, so the Houston Astros beat the New York Yankees to secure a spot in the World Series. And after they secured that spot, one of the assistant general managers, his name is Brandon Taubman, yelled at a group of three female baseball reporters who were at the after-game celebration. And he yelled, "Thank God we got Osuna. I'm so fucking glad we got Osuna." So I haven't been paying attention to baseball all year because, like I said, I just assume the game has been going on for months. But Osuna, Roberto Osuna, is a pitcher that the Astros obtained from the Toronto Blue Jays after he served a 75-game suspension for allegedly beating the mother of his child. So the Astros obtained him as a sort of depressed asset, if we're going to be really bloodless about it.
Subprime?
Right, subprime. You know, Osuna had a pretty good season. He had a good season with the Astros. He was pretty adept at beating other baseball teams. But he didn't have a good game the night that Brandon Taubman yelled at the three female sports reporters. It turns out in the reporting that there was a specific female reporter that he was targeting who was wearing a purple domestic violence bracelet, who throughout the season, whenever Osuna took the field for the Astros, tweeted out the domestic violence helpline. And Brandon Taubman took it upon himself at that moment to yell the name of the pitcher that had just given up a 2-run home run in game 6 of the ALCS at a woman who is a domestic violence advocate. Now, Sports Illustrated's Stephanie Epstein reported the incident, and initially the Astros were like, "No, that didn't happen. You're making shit up." And then a bunch of baseball reporters were like, "No, it did. We saw it. We were there." Taubman issued an apology that was like, "I was just trying to support my guy." As of right now, he still has a job, but the Astros are down one game in the series. So that's happening.
I mean, that's why I stick with gymnastics, except like that was fucking terrible too, but like
I was gonna say what
never mind I think record scratch.
I thought you were making a gallows humor joke and I was like, ooh, Alyssa, dark.
No. Unintentional.
I mean, but here's like, I think the larger point that brings together the Ernst & Young story and this story is that pretending sexism and a cavalier attitudes toward women, pretending that that's over, is just a happy lie. And we have to deal with the like less comfortable reality if anything is ever going to get better.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah. Anyway, go Nats. Alyssa, do you have any toasts or roasts for this week?
I have a quick toast.
Okay.
I am toasting Susan Rice, Ambassador Susan Rice, my friend and a colleague from the Obama administration, because yesterday on one of our brother pods, Pod Save the World, she called Lindsey Graham a piece of shit.
Oh, that was awesome.
And that was awesome. I was listening to the podcast on my walk and I just snarfed. I just snorted. There was just like everywhere. I laughed so hard because nobody really fucking tells the truth anymore. And if Lindsey Graham being a fucking piece of shit isn't the fucking truth right now, then nothing else is. So shout out Susan Rice.
That's a good one. I have a light roast to offer.
Let's feel it.
I want to give a little bit of a, and you know, I know liberals get told that they, or, you know, people on the left get told that we're always like eating our own, but I need to issue a little roast to Amy Klobuchar. I gotta do it. First of all, Amy Klobuchar has been a reliably good senator for the state of Minnesota, which is one of, you know, I grew up very close to the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota. I had to get all my clothes from the Twin Cities because there were no towns big enough in Wisconsin close enough to have stores that sold clothes. So, you know, I'm sort of a like adopted culturally Minnesotan. So I'm seeing a lot of Amy Klobuchar since the debate. During the debate, she was taking these very centrist positions and she was trying to attack Elizabeth Warren and other people who are advocates for Medicare for All by saying that we don't know how we're going to pay for it. Amy Klobuchar also has kind of held herself out nationally after her quote unquote moment as a centrist that can win states that, you know, Midwestern states that the eventual nominee will need in order to win the White House. But here's something that gets lost in Amy Klobuchar's narrative about imaginary moderates that she's building for herself. Bernie Sanders won the Minnesota primary.
Yes, he did.
Bernie Sanders won in Wisconsin.
And
Bernie Sanders,
the other states.
Bernie Sanders, where else did he win? He won in Indiana. He also won in Michigan. These are places that, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at. Talk about somebody who is going to be the eventual Democratic nominee. We need somebody who gets people in those places excited. And I'm not saying that Bernie Sanders is necessarily the one who should be the nominee, but like Amy Klobuchar's representation of who she is directly in conflict with what voters in the states that she claims to be the voice of want.
You mean in conflict with the truth?
In conflict with the truth.
Copy that. Okay.
Yes. And so I think Amy Klobuchar is a great senator. I think that she would be a great judge someday. But as a presidential candidate at this point in the game, as somebody who is probably not going to win the nomination, I think that her kind of parroting of GOP talking points is not super helpful. And that's my light roast of Amy Klobuchar.
I co-sign that entire light roast, that blonde coffee,
the blonde roast. Okay. Alyssa, as always, this was lovely. And I'm looking forward to talking to you next week when we're going to debut a new segment that I think people are going to like.
Do you mean when we speak next week on All Hallows Eve?
Yes.
Eve.
All Hallows
I'll
Eve.
I'll be wearing a witch's hat.
I'll figure something out. Okay. Talk to you then.
Bye.
We have to take a break, but there'll be more hysteria coming up. And welcome back. From a table strewn with free books and candy wrappers, we have reached the part of the show where we talk in a group about things that we find interesting. I want to introduce my wonderful panel today. First up, actor and comedian Tian Tran.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I feel like I saw you like 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
It's really nice. I really love being here.
Good. How was your last week?
Oh, it's been very chill. Yeah.
Except it's hot outside.
It's been very hot.
I know that's a lie. Fact checked.
I bought new jeans.
Ooh.
I'm wearing them, trying to see if I like them. Can't tell if it works with the boot I'm wearing. But we're just gonna live the day like this.
Where do you buy your white t-shirts from?
This is from And Other Stories. And I love their t-shirts, period.
Hmm.
Yeah. I really like the way they sit on me.
Nice.
Nope.
Sit on me.
I really like the way they
lay on top of me.
I think that's a good first pitch for the ad campaign around these t-shirts. Up next, she's an actor on NBC's Sunny Side, which you can now watch on Hulu. It's Kieran Deal.
Hi.
Welcome.
Nice to be here.
Good to see you. How are you?
I'm good. What an adventurous week. Last week was an adventure, and now here we are.
Another adventure. This town, baby.
That's my
Hollywood guy.
Yeah, my Hollywood guy with my cigarette / vagina. But this person is, yeah.
And finally, you've been hearing her throwing interject.
My bad.
No. I'm glad. On Hysteria for the second time, we welcome back the host of AJ Plus's News Broke, Francesca Fiorentini.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
We're delighted you're here. How have you been?
I've been good. I got the stomach flu from babies. Because they're disgusting.
Just babies in general?
Yeah, they were sick. They got me sick. And I think it's a BS myth.
What babies are you hanging out with?
Sick. All babies. Do you realize babies are just like, they're like...
They're little germ vessels.
Yeah, they're germ vessels.
Well, let's transition into the topic of today. It's October, which means that we are talking about Halloween until the mainstream media forces us to talk about Christmas on November 1st, which I'm not looking forward to. Christmas feels like wearing pajamas for a really long time, you know, and just by the time the day actually comes, you're just like, ugh, get me out of here.
Mental pajamas.
Oh, really? I really like the holiday season.
I do too, but it's too long.
I don't like Christmas music. And see, we're already talking about it, which just shows you how colonial it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's infecting our Halloween conversation. Yeah,
it's infecting But our Halloween conversation today is about ghosts, both in a literal sense, if you even believe that they exist in a literal sense, and a sort of, like, figurative, more spooky sense. ideological sense. First off, I'll start with you, Francesca. Do you believe in ghosts, and why or why not?
Ooh, it's such a complicated question. Yes, for sure. I believe in ghosts. But I didn't always, and I haven't had any experiences with ghosts. But I believe certain people can see and are more perceptive. And I want every ghost listening to know I'm not your girl, okay? Don't show yourself to me. I don't want to help you. I won't help you. But yes, people who are like a little more empathetic to like whatever they've got to sort out before they go to the, you know, other life and or complete death. I had an ex. I have an ex who I didn't believe in ghosts, but like when you date a Latino, it just happens. Like it's just like, you know, Latino America es mágica. Like, you know, it's just like magical realism. I lived in Argentina for 5 years and he had multiple experiences as like a kid where his entire bedroom was shaking. This is not earthquakes. It's like there was a home that he lived in and his grandmother could see. This was like a crazy other story where she looked up and sort of took a step back, just sort of like gasped back. And she realized that she was seeing something. And according to her, that she saw a ghost, and the ghost had the exact same reaction, which was like, what are you doing in my dining room? You know? So I definitely believe in the supernatural. But again, I haven't seen anything.
Do you think that belief in ghosts was prevalent in your experience in Latin America because the word fantasma is so fun to say?
Yes.
Okay. That's my theory.
Can we define ghost for the purposes of this podcast?
Sure. What is a ghost to you?
No.
Patrick
no.
Swayze.
Don't put that on me, Tien.
It's a spirit.
Yes.
I guess it's a spirit that manifests in a way that people who are alive can register it. So something that is not of the physical world that somehow manifests in a way that is either sight, feeling, sound, some sort. It registers in a sensory way.
So it doesn't have to be like Casper.
No.
You mean like not friendly?
Or no. Like a full form.
Yeah. Like, you know, like a hologram.
No.
It doesn't have to be like a Tupac hologram that appears to you in full form.
No, it can be like, I guess like a poltergeist. which I got really fascinated by when I was a kid. First of all, I don't believe in ghosts. I am the total opposite. I think that most ghosts are like some form of vitamin deficiency or carbon monoxide poisoning. I think that it's like there's so your brain can trick you into thinking so many things are happening. Like my ovaries can trick me into crying over like YouTube lead-in commercials. So like chemicals within your body can really influence your perception of the world. So I do not believe in ghosts. I do not doubt that people believe that they have experienced ghosts. And I do not doubt that different cultural lenses allow you to interpret different experiences as something supernatural. But I think everything has an explanation. Mm. And you know what? I'm talking like the character in scene one of a movie about ghosts.
Yeah, and really, you're going to get fucking spooked later.
But have either of you, has anyone seen a ghost?
I have not.
Kieran?
Well, I don't think so. Yeah, that's why I wanted a definition.
Yeah.
I was like,
do you believe in them?
Ghosts?
Yeah.
I don't know what I think.
But have you heard someone you trust who you're like, this person would not just make some stuff up, be like, yeah, there was a lady standing at the end of my bed and my sister saw? Because, like, I've heard many of those stories. And are you like, you're weird, I'm not hanging out with you? Or is it like, no?
No, I don't think I've heard those stories. Like, I don't have family members who are like, but I grew up like in England, and England's real old.
Yeah, a lot of ghosts over there.
That's a real old, a lot of old buildings, a lot of old stuff, you know?
Yeah.
The houses kind of smell, you know? It's a whole thing over there.
So here's an interesting thing is that people who, so my boyfriend now, he's doesn't believe in ghosts either. But he's really excited that they might exist because for him, he's scared of death. So he's like, oh, that means there could be an afterlife.
Mm. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
I'm at like the, like, I don't think I believe in ghosts, but because I don't want to get spooked. So I hope that they're not around so I don't get scared. But I also am starting to lean towards like, yeah, there is, I feel like there is some spirits around and or some like supernatural beings
right.
with the hopes that like this can't be our, this earthly vessel can't be that's, the end.
Honestly, guys, I feel like I'm alone at this table because I do not want life to be a party I can never leave. I want it to be over.
Yeah,
when the lights
legit.
Go off, I want it to be done.
And that's my response to him is like, no. Ghosts, if they do exist, are like, they're having a rough ass time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just said Patrick Swayze, but that was cute. But I think in reality, he just wanders forever and is like following Whoopi Goldberg around or like a really a much less adorable psychic who's like, get out of my head, you know, and he's like, no, you know. But I think that they're struggling. If they exist, they're struggling. They're holding on to life.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more beautiful than like letting go of life?
Do you think that The View would be better if Patrick Swayze's ghost would possess Whoopi Goldberg today?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I was like, where is this question going?
I know. I was like, I don't know.
The View.
The View with a ghost.
No, because now he's dead and she's still alive and we miss him. He was great.
God, she should do it as a prank one day.
So
At least Meghan McCain, just like replace Meghan McCain. I think Meghan McCain might be possessing that entire stage and cast. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the cultural purpose of ghost stories. Like, what function do you think they serve? Kieran, you mentioned that in England, everything is very old. Why do you think that there are so many ghost stories over there?
Well, they just have all the buildings are old and like Henry VIII, you know, they have like this, you know, they have this tower. They got a lot of abbeys and stuff, you know. That's why. There's a lot of old creaky shit in England, you know. And I don't know if you, like, I think it's because the image of in movies, when you go to something that is purported or made to be haunted, it's really got like a very like old colonial British vibe.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're in those spaces, you're like, you know, these places are like very old. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff went down.
And the history, a couple of, just to interject, since I'm the only one who is a true believer. No,
I know.
A couple friends were traveling in, again, this is all like, you know, you don't have to believe me because these are people you don't know. But my friends are very believable. And just like a couple of friends who were traveling in the South, and they went to, they'd never been in the South. And they were like spoken word poets, and they were performing. And I think they were in Georgia, and they were camping. And they were like, all right, we're just going to camp here. And I was like, cool, why not? I mean, California, we're like, camping's chill. In Georgia, camping is also in the woods. And again, spoken word poets, maybe a little maybe a little like in touch with, you know, the other world. I don't know.
You got the vibration of things. Yeah.
In the vibration.
Just, like take on a California monster persona here and pretend that that's real. Sure.
Yes. And okay. And they were like driving at night, like midnight, like driving through this campground, and felt and saw like spirits and ghosts just passing before them, but like specifically the weight of the South of enslaved, runaway, you know, Black Americans, just like, you know, I mean, whatever, like that density of evil spirit, mm-hmm. and sadness and attachment to life. They felt that and saw that like in their car. So I don't think they got out of their car. I think they slept in their car.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's nuts. And then that might have just been like, oh, we felt a vibration of this horror of slavery. But the way they said it was like, no, we saw real ghosts.
Well, that brings up an important and interesting point, because Kieran, you mentioned Henry VIII did a lot of head chopping, you know, and in the U.S. we have a really atrocious history of hurting and enslaving people. Do you think that sometimes ghost stories serve the function of reminding us that history like making it so that we can't forget history in case we were on the road to repeating it, but at the same time kind of sanitizing it from the presence, like, or the present acting as though like this is something that happened in the past and it haunts us, but we can move on. We've moved on. I don't know. I'm looking at you, Tian.
I think so. Just because, I mean, I went to my partner and I vacationed in New Orleans, and we went to a pharmacy museum because those are cool to me.
Yeah, tinctures.
Tinctures. I love thinking about, like, you know, how surgeries were done back then, turn of the century.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Very
I'm alone
painfully.
Here.
Oh,
yeah. It's very, so, but we walked in we kind of were just like not knowing what would be there. And we walked in and had a great time, but then felt kind of like that there was bad energy there, and then walked out later and learned that it had been, it was one of the most haunted places in New Orleans. It's part of their like tour, and that they had like, that the pharmacists and doctors had used enslaved folks to test out certain surgeries just terrible procedures. Like, and that did not come up at all in the museum itself, but they told you that it was haunted, but then we found that out later. So I feel like...
From who told you that?
We were looking... What?
When you were just looking
we
it
were
up.
Looking it up. We were looking it up afterwards. Okay. But I think like places like those haunted tours in the South that go to these like very places where folks have been like harmed and enslaved and tortured and hurt, they just like... I feel like ghost stories kind of gloss over that, mm-hmm. to allow you to be like, ooh, we're getting spooked. Right. And so like you said, like a sanitizing of our histories in a way that seems like spooky and scary, but not really reckoning with what actually happened.
Mm-hmm. My experience, like I just did Halloween Horror Nights. The cast of Sunnyside went to Halloween Horror Nights. I've never been in Universal Studios, right? And it's like they have these mazes, and then they have these monsters that like jump out at you in the mazes and stuff. And then they have people dressed up in the chainsaws. So I really didn't know how I would react. And I thought it was delightful. I was laughing, and like other people were crawling on the ground and terrified, and I thought it was very funny.
I am not surprised by this reaction that you have in that place at all.
It was
that feels perfect.
This
to
all
me.
Track.
Yeah, it was like
you're like, are you guys union? Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about like, why is it? It was like somebody would jump out at me, and I'd be like, I felt like a baby, and it was adult peekaboo, and I was just like. And I was like laughing and clapping.
I thought
I'd
be the person crawling on the ground.
Yeah, I thought it was. But here's the reason why. It's like, I know that like when you go into Universal Studios, they can't touch you. I know they can't touch you. I know that it's a lawsuit if they touch you. And like, I've been in a lot of very dangerous places, like actual dangerous places. And so it's like, you know, there's not, I don't know. There was something about it where I was like, and I kind of joked about it on the internet, but I was like, no, but like, I think having a career in entertainment's very scary. You know, I think systemic racism and sexism mm-hmm. that you face on a daily basis is like actually terrifying, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, monsters? Yay! Yeah. So fun. Yeah. So fun.
But that's like one of the rules of like ghosts in terms of, in the ways that we traditionally think about them is like, ooh, it's the past. It's people that got deeply wronged. I mean, unless you're in Japan where the ghosts are mega scary. But, you know, the theory is, or the idea is that they can't actually hurt you. Mm-hmm. They can pass through you. They can scare you or whatever. But if you're in Japan, it's like, I was reading about Japanese ghosts in prep for this and it was like, holy fuck.
Damn, what are they?
Yeah, what's their like possession? There is one, Hanako-san, or Hanako of the Toilet. It's a Japanese urban legend. Okay, it sounds really goofy, but if you go to the third floor of a bathroom or of a building and go into the bathroom on the third floor
of any building,
and then go to the third stall and knock on it and call for her, you will find the ghost of Hanako-san, who, according to urban legend, was killed playing hide-and-seek during an air raid during World War II. So summon Hanako-san, enter the girls' bathroom, knock three times on the third stall, ask if Hanako-san is present. If she's there, she'll reply with some version of, yes, I am. So spooky. Depending on the story, the witness might see a hand, bloody hand, and then Hanako-san pulls you into the toilet and you die.
Damn.
Whoa.
That's why their toilets are so newfangled and like amazing. Yeah. Like, oh, this is the anti-Hanako-san / bidet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know, it's like wash your butthole or stop spirits.
Yeah.
These are the two buttons you can use.
This button dries your butt.
Yeah.
No, we've all been making fun of bidets, but really they have a very deeply spiritual
point. Hanako-san is just butt crust. Right. I haven't said that word since I was 13.
I've
never heard it either.
Didn't know that was a word.
It was,
yeah.
Oh, butt crust? Yeah. I was really into that word. Anyway, tweet at me if you as well were into butt crust.
But I think like the Hanako-san story is a good example of like the elements that make a good cultural ghost story is like some kind of trauma that happened specifically mm-hmm. in that place, some sort of like unforgivable wrong that was done, and like the taking of innocent life and then the vengeance of that life on the people around them.
I like the specificity of the directions.
Yeah.
I think that what makes it something, it's like, go to the seventh floor, you know, knock on a window, but it's the third window from the right. Anywhere you go.
And you have to ask for her.
The second one's just like, no, it's Marge. No, it's the third one.
I find there's something very fun about the specific. It's like Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. Go to the tree and the field with the tree, and then there's the stones.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then it's like under the stones, there'll be a box, and then you're going to dig and you're going to get the box. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that.
Did you guys do Bloody Mary when you were younger?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Ouija boards.
Yes.
Yes.
There is a book and I don't remember the name of it, but it's got the word magic in the title, but it was a few.
Heard of it?
Yeah. Magic something.
Did you say there was a book?
There was a book. It's got magic in the title. I'm not a big reader. no, but it came out a few years ago, and I think it was a journalist, and she basically wrote about when we give up all belief in magic or the supernatural, like, what do we lose, and how some of these stories, and specifically she was talking about gnomes and fairies, which, you know, people in the Nordic area in like Scandinavia, they super believe in that. I've heard other folks look me in the eyes and be like, oh yeah, I saw a gnome. Gnomes like babies, which we know they do from like dumb cartoons. But like so I've heard stories of gnomes also. But it was a nice book because it was like, yeah, it doesn't make logical sense. Yes, there's no reason. Yes, when you die, if you're not religious, you probably believe we all just go back to the ground. Mm-hmm. Yay. That's beauty in and of itself and magical in and of itself. But there is something else. Like, what is that other presence? What is that other spirit? And what do we, because you don't lose anything by being like, I don't believe in it at all. It's like, yeah, well, a lot of people have real stories. And I think hearing someone tell you one of these stories is like,
yes,
it's hard to put them in this like, you had a vitamin deficiency you know,
right.
category.
Right. I think that anytime anybody pretends that they know the answer to something that we can't quite explain, that yeah. robs us of the pursuit of the real truth, which yeah. is maybe what losing the magical belief. So I have like one ghost story that I can't explain that I swear there must be an explanation for it. But here's the thing that happened
Uh-oh.
To me, guys.
Uh-oh.
Here's the thing that happened to me.
Was there a gnome? Because I'm still thinking no. about the gnome in my grandfather's garden, and I was delighted by him.
Maybe he was your friend.
Also, gnomes and fairies can be mean, aren't they? Aren't they? Isn't yeah. the okay, that's what I just wanted to clarify. Yeah.
They're in Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Do a little reading.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's nice and shit.
Wait, you have a gnome story. You have a...
I have a Wendigo story.
Mine is very simple. Ooh. Mine was just that my granddad had a gnome in this, like, very beautiful British garden that was, like, his garden that was very beautiful on a corner lot. And I, when I was a kid, like, I'd always, like, look out at the gnome, and it was like, oh, yeah, he's real. Like, there's something magical about, like, you know, like, he had, like, the idea that the gnome would, like, run around when you weren't looking, or, like, I thought, like, Care Bears lived in the sky. I mean, I definitely live, like, a, and then when I was on a plane, I was, like, looking for the Care Bears, like, the first time.
Wow.
Because you know I mean? They're, like, you know what I mean?
It's like, but the gnome
I definitely
never
live
moved.
A duller, grayer, worse life now.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So why not? Why not a little bit? A little bit of
I want to hear your magic story.
Okay. So here's my scary story. So Wendigo is like north, like Algonquin and Ojibwa and like other tribes that are kind of in the north and like Ontario, Canada, down through Minnesota and Wisconsin. They have this belief in this monster called a Wendigo. And the Wendigo is depending on what tradition you draw from, the Wendigo has like big deer horns. He's very, very tall and super, super skinny. And like parts of him are man parts. Parts of him are like deer parts. And he has got like very long like limbs. And the Wendigo exists as a warning against cannibalism because these tribes lived in situations where like during the deep winter, sometimes they would be tempted to like eat the dead bodies of people that had past. And a Wendigo story was like, yeah, if you eat human flesh, you become a Wendigo, which is where you can only eat human flesh and you live forever, but you're always starving. So that's the story of the Wendigo. And the Wendigo was also present in, I think, Hannibal. They used it because, you know, cannibalism and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's a super tall thing with like deer horns man or whatever. So one night I had just gone to a party on the Indian reservation near where I grew up with two of my
Strike
friends.
Strike one.
I know. Well, the Indian reservation was where kids had alcohol in a lot of cases.
But you stepped on some shit. You stepped on something.
Well, I was the sober driver. I was doing a good deed. I was driving my friends home and it was post curfew. And so to get around in my town, there was like a midnight curfew. And to get around curfew, we were taking these back roads kind of to get around the town. And we are kind of on this windy road that goes along, like, in this very dark lake area.
So what do you mean by a midnight curfew?
You can get cited if you're a kid, if you're under 18 and you're out after midnight.
Okay.
So unless you're going to or from a school function or to or from work. But you can get sighted if you're out after midnight. So anyway, so I'm driving home, dark road, surrounded by pine trees, very claustrophobic, windy. And I'm sitting in the front. My two knucklehead friends are sitting in the back. All of a sudden, they both scream. And I look in my, like, peripheral vision. I see what looks like a deer, like, bumping up against the side of my car. Because deer are real dumb. Deer are really, really stupid. They're beautiful but stupid. And I thought, you know, in my peripheral, I was like, oh, it's a buck. And I tried to, like, swerve away from it. Mm. And, you know, kind of in the chaos of it, the thing fell. And, as we're driving away, my friends are like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I was like, guys, it was a fucking deer. I look in my rearview mirror, and as my red taillights are receding around a corner, I see the deer stand up and then continue to stand the rest of the way.
Shut the fuck up.
So, how do you, okay.
So here's the thing. Here's
Wendigo.
I know. How do you explain that
Wendigo.
Away?
So A, angle of the taillights could have been like, I could have been going down a dip so it looked like the shadow was spreading. B, it, you know, I was going around a curve. I was like in a state of fear. I was already afraid of like getting sighted for whatever.
Aaron murdered a dude.
My friends were,
Aaron murdered a dude.
That's not how the Wendigo works. It was the guy was trying to murder me. If that was a Wendigo, he was fully trying to
trying to get
what if it was a guy?
Hey, quick
with
question.
Deer horns with a massive rack of deer horns? That's not a
someone
thing.
Playing a prank.
Were you,
and then you hit
this
him.
This is just technicality because I believe All right. I believe survivors. And were you slowing? Were you like at a stop sign and then, or we were, how did it?
It was like a windy country road.
Right. So you had to go slow.
That I was just like navigating the turns. There were no lights of any kind except for the lights that my car was making on the road. So it, all I saw, I was in, and it was also in the rearview mirror. So it could have been like, but in my memory, that's
no, those what, mirrors are the best.
That's what, in my memory.
Oh, yeah, I never turn around. No, I only rely on mirrors.
Me too. The thing is, like, I have a Google alert for Wendigo murder Frederick, Wisconsin. Haven't seen any. So the Wendigo has apparently not been very successful if he is running around up there. But
you
that
have
was
a Google alert for that?
No.
Well, he then you were like, doing.
There was like a little, like, maybe if you got stuck, snowed in, you would turn around and look at your knucklehead friends and be like, I could eat one of you, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, one of you, I'd eat. The yes. other, you're chill.
Oh, I mean,
one of you I would eat to survive.
The rich.
Oof. They were both rich.
Yeah,
you were like,
I mean, like the richer one is
oh,
the one
yeah.
that
the
I
the richer
eat.
One.
The less stressed out the one. Less. Because, yes. the, you know, the Kobe beef, they play it music and then they massage it and yeah. then it tastes more delicious because it's less stressed out and it had a better life. Mm. So always eat the thing that's has
which is
the
not necessarily
life.
The richer one.
Yeah.
That's
as
true.
As studies so have shown.
Money can't buy happiness.
No.
No.
Find the one who's like had yoga, meditation.
And massages.
And massages.
A lot of body work.
Eat that one.
A lot of body work.
So I want to go into the reason that I wanted to talk about ghosts and why I think it actually is like a political thing. Because I think that the idea of things dying and then coming back is something that's like very present in the news cycle right now. Like, oh, whoa, look, we have this old timey racism. It's coming back to life. Or like, oh, people don't like Jewish people anymore. That's coming back. But Francesca, my question for you yeah. is, do you think that things that we've branded as antiquated were ever actually dead? Or do you think that they've always been around and dormant and we've stopped noticing? Do you think they're just kind of like, yeah. Have they always been there, but we haven't been paying attention?
Yes, the latter for sure. Do I think Jeff Sessions is like a reincarnate of a professional witch drowner from the 18th century? Yes. Yeah. Do I think...
And he didn't even change his bodysuit. He looks the same.
Yeah. Like Lou
same
Dobbs.
Same belief.
Same
belief.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now he's in Congress.
Absolutely.
That's a ghost story.
Yeah. I mean, Kavanaugh was like a Confederate soldier. Like, all. Yeah, I believe in reincarnation. This is not about reincarnation. But yeah, that's what's scary. I mean, I think we talk about two kinds of ghosts. One is the like, you know, my husband pushed me down the stairs and nobody knew about it. And now I'm haunting this house ghost. And then that's like, or, you know, the, I need to like tell something, the Patrick Swayze ghost, I need to tell something to the living that is important for me to move on. And then there's that historic trauma ghost. Mm-hmm. And yeah, absolutely. Donald Trump has been put on, if not by aliens, by the other world to remind us of racism.
You know, there's that thing in Germany where, like, they have a lot of, like, cornerstones of what happened. You know, like, things are commemorated where bad things happened. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Either during the Holocaust or the lead-up. So that it's like you can see this town square was this or this shop belonged to this person. So there's kind of like a living memory mm-hmm. In a place as opposed to just like paving over what happened. And I wonder if that, like, how does that, I'm curious in the ways in which that heals and like heals a nation to an extent through commemoration, through acknowledging, you mm-hmm. know, what has happened in the past
yeah.
in a real way, mm-hmm. right? Like when you try to ignore your own feelings and then you feel worse. You know?
Yeah, I think people yeah. in America love a movie ending. they love a resolution of a story, and we love to pretend like, well, that's it. History's done, and the good guys won, or whatever. But really, I think that isms like sexism, racism, you know, xenophobia, bigotry ism. Of all kinds, all the isms
and obias.
Yes, isms and obias. For sure.
What a good Mary Poppins song.
Go for it, Tien.
I think it's sort of like, I'm more on like what you're saying, Kieran. I agree that it's important to have reminders. Like, we need to treat racism like the Babadook that lives inside of our basement forever, and we're never going to get rid of it. And we have to just acknowledge that it's there. Otherwise, it's going to come and like hurt our kid. Like, yeah. That just seems like the way forward.
But I mean, I think for sure Germany's got it way better than the U.S. when it comes to reckoning with its past and making sure it doesn't repeat it. But I agree, like, in a small way, you know, when bikers get killed and there's like that coalition that puts a painted white bike wherever the biker was killed. Have you seen these?
Yeah. The ghost bikes?
Ghost bikes, yeah. Right? So it's like kind of remembering that someone died here and also... be careful and look out for bikers.
Yeah.
We should have that with like MAGA hats when this is all over. Just paint them white and hang them places.
I think so many of the memorials and things that we use to commemorate in the US, like, it is framed in a way where those who are in power, like, you know, white supremacy is like celebrated for making decisions. So like to change it, there are so many statues where you'll have like kneeling Native Americans like thanking white saviors. Mm-hmm. And the way that that's commemorated, I think, informs how we today still don't see that as like we've solved it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that sort of commemoration is kind of haunting us because we think that those things have already been solved. And yet, like, it's sexism, racism, homophobia is still a huge problem, has never gone away. But we still give pats on the back to the people in power who say they have, like, fixed these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, nobody likes to acknowledge that the reason that they have power is because people who didn't deserve it suffered great injustice.
Yeah. And this idea of, like, identity shifting, right? It's, like, one of the reasons that conversation is so challenging is because you're not just asking for someone to acknowledge someone else's pain. It's like if somebody believes, no, I worked very hard and I deserved this. Mm-hmm. It's like you're also asking for them to shift their own notion of privilege. And then that shapes how you see your own identity. And that's, I think, why reckoning with so, because you might have worked very, very hard. If you're in Congress, you probably did work very, very hard. And that's real. And also, you probably had a ton of advantages over people in the last like 50 years, especially if you've been in there for a minute, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so both of things can be true at once. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's a, in, I was an English major and I had this like, I had this book, like these books, and there's like just a lot of like legacy. Yes,
heard of
I
them.
Know.
Heard of
weird.
Them.
It's weird.
Oh my God.
Francesca. I know that you said
I know you
didn't
don't read. Yeah.
Read earlier, yeah, but pages, very thin.
Glue.
A lot of words, a lot of glue. But one of the tracks was like, I don't remember the name of the tribe, but it was a Native American, like a speech that was transcribed by an American man. And it's one of like, that was a, like, I'll bring it for you. I'll bring it in. I'll find it. I'll bring it in because it's at my house. But it was one of the most haunting things I've ever read. And it was really heartbreaking. And I was like, in my 20s when I read it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking this incredible, like, how is it that I've never read or seen anything like these words, you know,
yeah,
about the idea of defeat and the way that, you know, you've killed my family, you've killed everyone, you've taken everything away from, you know, from us, and, you know, and this isn't a victory, but I don't want you to continue murdering.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that reminds me of, you guys know about the ghost dance. So in the very end of the 19th century, the Lakota Sioux, they lived like in North and South Dakota, and there was this religious kind of cult within their belief system that started called the Ghost Dance, which was, it was a performance, it was like a dance that they believed would cause all the white people to go away and leave them alone and stop killing them. It was...
How do those steps go now? Because I feel like we need to bring it back.
Yeah. It was... I remember being a little kid and my parents being very like, when we go on vacation, we're driving, we're camping, we're going to memorial sites, we're doing this. I remember going to a ghost dance museum and being like, did it work? And my parents were like, absolutely not. It did not work at all. And like Chief Sitting Bull, who was one of the last like leaders of the tribe, was one of its big advocates. And he was just like great, one of the last people to stand up. And it's just this idea that like they could bring their ancestors back and just get everything the way that it was, make South Dakota great. Again,
yeah.
but in a way that was actually like, let's stop. Like, can you guys just leave us alone?
Yeah.
Can you guys just leave us alone? And there's something so heartbreaking, like Kieran, about the language of the defeated and the belief of people who, not even the defeated, the oppressed, and the belief of the people who are trying to like make a last stand against it. That I don't think that we confront very often in American history.
No, I really don't think, like, it's not in our curriculum. Like, people, we don't teach it to the kids and the youth. Like, we don't, none of that stuff. I didn't learn about it until, like, much later. And it was because I was seeking that stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Because, the fundamental idea of injustice is a very hard one to grapple with. And this idea that, like, you know, good people don't always win, you know? And, like, that's, even the quotes that we purport, you know, it's like, you know, love always wins. Think about it. Always. Like, that's a fucking thing I see. And I was like, always?
Love occasionally wins.
I was like, always? That's me.
Always?
And my voice just gets higher and higher every time I say always.
Really? Always?
No, I think if you're putting it in these terms, America is absolutely haunted. Mm-hmm. And if you believe in that, right? If you believe in actual ghosts, making peace is how you let it go. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the U.S. continues to run from our past and run from our history ensures that we will continue to be haunted rather than being able to, like, sort of, as, you know, in, like, Zen traditions, you say, like, invite the monsters to tea, or like invite these spirits to come sit with you, like all the negativity, all the scary stuff, like don't run away from it. Don't like shut it out. Invite it to tea, make peace with it. See what it wants. It needs to be heard. Our histories is how I'm going to say this now. Our histories and our traumas should be heard and like remembered and kept alive in a way that is respectful. But no, instead we are just,
we're doing the opposite.
I mean, as the old joke goes, you know, we built a whole country on an old Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
Which never goes quite well in anything.
In every Halloween story. We're just one long sequel to the story of Halloween.
Yes. Or Pet Sematary.
Pet Sematary.
Pet Sematary mostly. Okay. This was a great conversation, guys. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, the hills we will die on.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking three questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action, not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
And welcome back. We've gotten to the part of the show where we take really strong stances on things that don't really matter. It's the hills we'll die on. Let's get started with our listener hill.
The hill I will die on is bag your own groceries. It looks so entitled and lazy to me when people stand there staring at the heap of groceries mounting up while the checker frantically tries to scan everything and bag it. While you're doing nothing to help, you are not too good to participate in this process. If there's no dedicated bagger, bag your groceries.
That's fair.
Agreed.
Super cosign.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta.
I bag my own groceries all the time.
I do too. I kind of like it. It's like a puzzle. I even put stuff on the conveyor belt in the order that I wanted to put it like,
ooh,
in a bag.
Wow.
I don't think that far ahead.
And then yeah, wow.
The lighter stuff and then the breaky stuff.
But I've noticed, it depends on what city you're in, but here in LA, there's like a more grocery baggers, and then they'll thank me for bagging my own damn shit.
I've had
and I'll
that
be
experience.
Like, oh, well, you're welcome. Yeah. I am a pretty good person, aren't I? Like, it's so ridiculous that I'm getting thanked.
Okay, I'll go with my hill. So there was a World Series game this week, and in the first inning of the World Series game, one of the Washington Nationals stole a base. Mm. And as a result, a nationwide taco chain is giving everybody in America a free taco if they show up to the taco chain on October 30th between in this four-hour window. So the hill I'll die on is...
What's the taco chain?
Yeah, what's
I think it's Taco Bell. You get a free taco if you show up between like 2 and 6 p.m. on October 30th.
Do I have to like wear something?
No, you just show up. You just be an American.
Why is that?
Because somebody stole a base and they made a foolish bet. They were like, look, hey, promotion. If somebody steals a base in the World Series, then free tacos for everybody. So the hill I'll die on this week is that free food is almost never worth the amount of time you spend waiting in line for free food. Think about how much you would demand to be paid for a job, at least minimum wage, right? Mm-hmm. A taco is worth like 60 cents. How much time are you going to spend waiting in line for that 60-cent taco? I will be personally avoiding it unless I'm there for the spectacle. But yeah, free food, not worth
it. No, not worth it.
The line, they absolutely need a plan of distribution. You know, it's like Obamacare and Medicare for all. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like healthcare. Like, how are we going to distribute? Is the site going to crash? Are we going to have to wait in line forever? No, have carts, have people stationed. I'm very interested in how they implement this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Godspeed, but I don't have a lot of faith.
Taco Bell taco? No.
Yeah, no way.
No.
I would never wait in line for a Taco Bell taco.
Not in Los Angeles. We're like, there's literally taco trucks in every corner, and it's amazing.
And it's heaven.
Yeah.
For the believers in our audience, while Erin was giving her hill, the mics cut out.
They did.
Ooh. In the episode about ghosts.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it was the ghost called Glitch. It was a computer glitch. It was a computer glitch.
Glitch or coincidence?
Yes.
Or ghost.
Tanako.
Or Wendigo. Or
Hanako-san.
Could have been her. But I didn't even knock on the bathroom door. Okay, who wants to go next? Tien, do you want to go next?
I'll go next.
Tien's staring at a picture of a lady Wendigo.
No. It's, don't make it sound like I pulled it up.
Kieran pulled it up.
Okay? Kieran pulled it up. It's a very sexy depiction of a lady Wendigo.
Let's be honest. Because Erin was like, I'd hit that. I'd hit a Wendigo. Then I was like, and then you're like, I might hit a lady Wendigo. And I was like, well, let's see what's available.
Yeah.
So it's in context. It's what not just like I pulled it out of my own brain.
What did you Google?
Lady Wendigo.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's doing a lot of confusing things.
She's doing
me.
A lot of meth.
She's doing, it's like, yeah, it's,
well,
okay.
Erin didn't like the first one I pulled up because it wasn't gaunt enough.
No.
So I found a gaunter one.
Wendigo is supposed
to be hungry.
Starving.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
she God. Gaunt? She's definitely gaunt.
She is, but they still gave her like really nice tips. Okay, here's my hill. Can you put it away? Very distracting. And not in like a second. It's just like, it's weird. I feel weird. That's the weirdest I've felt in this room.
It's because it's the ghost episode.
It is. It's the ghost episode. And also, this Wendigo is standing with like its back to me, with its shoulders back, looking over its shoulder with blood dripping down its mouth and a huge boob just like pointed back at me, and it's like seductive but creepy and gross. Everything's wrong.
Don't make eye contact.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do it.
I can't shake that image from my brain.
We'll sage this room
okay,
after this.
Thank you.
But this is the TN I like. Look at this. Look at these emotions just running hot. The TN is running hot. I love
it. Is it hot in here? Okay, here's my hill. So Charlie's Angels, the reboot is about to come out. And I noticed that they're all still fighting in super crazy high heels. The hill that I would like to die on is that it's 2019. I would just like to see a lady spy in a sensible shoe. I would like to see like her in a little black dress and Merrells. Like, I just want her to be all dressed up looking like so fierce. Spy, 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 spy. But then when you get to your feet, she's like in shape ups. Like, I want...
Or
Doc Martens.
Or Doc Martens. Like, right. I want, like, a very...
I would choose, like, waterproof Keens.
Yes.
Like, good for the river when you're running through it.
Yes. Or just, like, really hot, cool Crocs. Couture outfit. And then those finger shoes.
Yeah. Whoa, finger toe things.
Those finger toe shoes.
You can run fast.
You can run fast and you can kick hard.
Healthy for the lower back.
Yeah.
Have you seen people wear those in real life?
Yes, and they're weird.
And everyone who wears those finger toe shoes, they act like they're the best person.
They really do.
And
they,
I hate them.
They do.
They do.
It just seems like a bet. They all got involved in making a bet. They're like, we're going to pretend. I think a lot of fashion is a bet where people are like, can we make rich ladies wear this ugly thing? I bet we can. And then
yeah.
they do
yeah.
over and over.
Mm. But I agree on the heel thing. I mean, I can't wear heels,
I don't
even understand that. And I actually think, like, in terms of, I believe people who've seen ghosts more than I believe a woman who tells me heels are comfortable.
Yep.
I will, any day, a woman tells me, oh, no, they're actually really comfortable. Bullshit. I don't believe a word that you're saying right now.
Yeah.
Tell me about a ghost. Hell yeah.
Also, if she...
Wendigo?
If they were to fight in heels, I just want a little more reality. Like, I want it to be, like, kind of hard. And they're yeah, like... Yeah, like yeah. And when I run in heels or wear heels, I'm like... Like, I want to see that kind of fighting.
Kristen Stewart, man. I don't
so
know.
So conclusive. I want to see that kind of fighting.
Wobble, wobble.
Kieran, what hill will I die on? This is a true thing. Dog Reiki is a thing that exists in Los Angeles. There's about 7 companies that do it. Not one company, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5. Yeah, I'm going to keep going. Not 6, about 7 companies that do dog Reiki. And it makes me understand why people in other parts of the country are like, they should fall into the ocean.
Francesca.
Oh,
let's do your hill.
Okay, I was thinking super, super superficial, but it's supposed to be. Maybe you've done it before, maybe you haven't. Wearing a thong to bed. Never, ever, 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 never. Just never wear a thong to bed. I can't stand it. I think that's like something like oppressing you in your sleep. It's obviously worse than wearing, not as bad as wearing a bra to sleep. And the women who are like, then it keeps them perky. Shut up.
That's not real science.
Yeah.
That's not real science. That's bullshit. Yeah, my boyfriend said it keeps him pain. No. But also, like, so every day I pretty much have, like, 2 pairs of underwear because I can't sleep in a thong. It's so fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
It's not anything that I've thought about, but every once in a while, if my underwear situation is not comfortable when I'm sleeping, I will get up in the middle of the night and be like, this cannot stand. And I'll change my underwear in the middle of the night.
I don't sleep.
I'm not really angry at anyone, particularly just the underwear.
Yeah.
But I will just say, I think the feeling of sleeping in a thong is a feeling of either I'm like, maybe at a one-night stand with somebody, or like there's a walk of shame coming.
Yeah.
Like,
but why, if it's that uncomfortable when you're sleeping, then isn't it that uncomfortable when you're awake too?
Well, I'm perpetually angry.
I've noticed that about you. Okay, cool.
I only wear thongs when it's the last thing in my, that is like.
I support that.
Yeah.
It's your 4th string quarterback.
It truly is. Yeah, I had to like bring them up from the minor leagues to come.
Would you be more likely to double dip into your laundry basket, you know,
ooh,
and wear something inside out or, you know, one of those gestures? Or would you go?
Have I done that? Yeah.
Well, so, out. But the choice is between a thong and a.
And in one I've already used.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I've done that. I've skipped the thong and gone to something I've already worn, flipped it inside out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love how the last things in your underwear drawer are either like the most grandma up to the belly button underwear for me. Usually I borrowed from my mom. or like the lingerie with like the most uncomfortable, laciest thong that you never break out ever.
Right. You bought it and you're like, this will be something for sex. And then it,
No.
It's either that or like breast pedals. So you just take them and you just put them.
Oh, yes. Yes, TN, with the creativity.
You know, you just got to get creative. Okay.
Lady Windigo should try that. Breast petals.
But I like the bag your own groceries. That's the best one.
I think that's a pretty good one.
Yeah,
too.
I do too.
All right. Anybody have anything to promote?
Oh, I'm going to be in Chicago next week.
Love Chicago.
Yeah. So if there's any hysteria people, I'll be at Zany's doing an hour.
Oh, that's an hour? Yeah, that's so fun.
That's so exciting.
Old Town is great.
I love Chicago. Oh, we both lived in Chicago different times. But yeah, it's great.
I know no one there.
Oh, well.
So I hope people come.
The people there are very nice. They're very nice until like February when they get really tired of winter. Then they're just surly until May.
Oh, but I'll tell all my friends to go.
I've heard it's a great comedy city.
Yeah. It's really fun. That's going to be great. Tien and Kieran, thanks for stopping by. Francesca Fiorentini, thank you for coming again. This was great.
Thanks
to Alyssa Mastromonaco for calling in. Gosh, we've got some Italian-ass last names. And thanks to you guys for listening. There'll be more Hysteria next week. Hysteria is a product of Crooked Media. Caroline Reston is our producer. Our editor is Sarah Barrett, and Kyle Seglin is our sound engineer. Thank you to Juliet Beckstrand for production support and to our digital team, Elijah Cohn and Nadina Melkonian, for filming and editing our video content every week.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking three questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action, not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.